We have Gina Boldick here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler right here on WCHL. And it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which Gina and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, are they in fact things or not really things? And I don't know if we have had a week in recent memory where we have had something that is not a thing, because everything
there's
that's happening seems
to be...
It's been
a thing-rich environment.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm gonna start with point number one. So we'll knock out a few here. With point number one, which I am going to argue, and I think this is going to be counterintuitive, is not a thing, Scott Pruitt's resignation. I say that's not a thing.
I'd say it's like an overdue library book.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for finally coming
well,
in with
right.
that, right? I mean, here's what what stuck me about that was, so let me see if I have this right. Multiple OIG investigations.
Yes.
The media crawling all over you.
Yeah.
I mean...
The secret meetings that you're having.
The
misuse of the office.
Absolutely humiliatingly petty corruption of this individual.
Mm-hmm.
And he could stand up behind all of that, but a woman with a toddler telling him off in a restaurant, that was too much to
and
bear.
And he had to leave, yeah. Hey, there
you go.
That
was too much to bear.
Yeah.
But my theory about this is that, you know, Trump also this week hired
Bill Shine.
Bill Shine,
yeah,
from Fox News to be his communications guy. And I think that Bill Shine said to him, you got to get
maybe
rid of Pruitt.
You should let Pruitt
it's
go.
Time to
yeah.
let him go. You
yeah.
know, you're going to let him go. You know, you're going to.
Right.
And you have a deputy who can run the department into the ground.
Continue
just
running
like him,
the department into the ground.
Completely.
That's why I say it's not a thing, because obviously
right.
he has to go. Like, scandals out the wazoo,
right.
but also
right.
like the policies of the EPA are going to continue
right.
on the way that they would have.
And he's still
with
not
going.
He's still
there.
Not coming out and saying, "Oh, I can't believe this guy's so
right,
corrupt,
right, yeah.
outrageous. You're fired."
Yeah.
He didn't fire him.
Yeah.
I mean. You
he
know,
accepted his resignation. Nothing's going to happen.
I
Pruitt's
mean,
gonna...
of course he really did fire him.
Yeah.
But he's not even making a show of, I got rid of this guy mm-hmm. because I have standards.
Yeah.
No, it's
no.
not. He doesn't have standards.
I think we're past believing that Donald Trump has standards
right.
now,
I mean,
right?
So
like,
there's, you know, the Democrats have plenty of video and photographs and documents. And by the way, many of those investigations... have to do with breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not stopping because he resigned his position.
Right, right.
You know, Rachel Maddow did a wonderful a segment on her show where she said, you know, if you're going to be a criminal,
mm-hmm.
it's a really good idea to get elected first, because it's the only job, it's the only way that the court will recognize and say, well, you know, Councilman so-and-so did this terrible thing, but he's mm-hmm. resigned his position, so that's, you know,
so that's
time served, that's
itself.
It,
yeah.
that's the
yeah.
end. She says, you know, some guy works, let's say, at a radio station and embezzles. He's not going to go in and say, well, I gave up my 3 o'clock show, judge. The judge is going to go.
Who are we talking about here?
I don't know. Who are we talking about? You know, there's no
just
other
line of
work.
Just because I have $2
work.
Sign bags right, sitting
that's
here.
That's right. Well, you're wearing a green shirt, for heaven's sake. It's made of money. It's made of dollar bills and the tears of Republicans. So, you know.
But mostly dollar bills,
there's,
really,
yeah, there's
let's be
no
honest.
Other
yeah.
job where you can just quit your job and therefore expect to be excused from committing a crime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope he gets indicted for something. I
yeah.
hope he gets a little more than just, you know, off to his next Chick-fil-A opportunity.
All right. Speaking of criminal investigations, point number two, Michael Cohen making more and more and more public statements and gestures that indicate
right.
that he may, in fact, be flipping on Donald Trump and cooperating with the
he
Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
Thing or not a thing?
Well, it is a thing because it is an important movement in the case. He's hired Lanny Davis, who is an attorney, a very good friend of the Clintons, which, you know, of all the attorneys in all the towns in all the world, he picked the one guy that would irritate Trump the most, a Clinton loyalist. And I'm quite sure that he's not performing legal work per se. I think that he's performing crisis communication advising. And I think that, you know, part of what he's advising is, you know, you have to be careful about what you say, but you can go on TV. If you go on TV, people are going to pay attention to what you say. And if you don't say, if you don't go on TV again and say, I'll take a bullet for Mr. Trump, you know.
Is that what he sounds like? I haven't really watched TV in
forever.
Like
a mutt. He sounds like a mutt. And he sounds exactly like the knucklehead from Central Casting that he is. And so if he does something that isn't that, which is what he's done for all of his life practically up until this point, it's going to make an impact. And it has, I think. He also changed his profile on Twitter, which used to say that he was a personal attorney to the President of the United States, yeah. Donald J. Trump. And as of the 4th of July, he declared his independence and just changed it to having removing the references to the Trump campaign and putting links to his LinkedIn page, which, you know, that must be something to see. But
I'm still saying not a thing on this.
I mean, he's
going to
flip. That's the thing.
Only because
that's a
he
thing.
Hasn't yet.
If
he flips, it's a thing. But I want something concrete. Otherwise, these are just kind of
his
public
flipping,
gestures, which
I
don't necessarily mean anything.
I think it's important to realize if he does flip, that takes time.
Yes.
He has to be interviewed by the U.S. attorneys in the Southern District of New York. They probably have to coordinate approval with Mueller. He's not under scrutiny directly by Mueller. And that's going to take probably weeks of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to notice that after all that we know already, he has not yet been indicted. And that tells me that they're talking.
Yeah.
And it's much better for him to be never indicted than to be indicted and make a deal and have it, you know, work out. The much better arrangement for him is to never be indicted. And so, you know, he's saying all these things that are positive toward the FBI and doesn't like the term witch hunt. He's putting out every possible marker that he is not associating himself with the comments of his previous client.
Is there a strategy behind doing that so publicly, though?
As a communications matter, yes. And that's why I say, you know, that's why I think Lanny Davis is advising him about communication strategy, not about...
Who is he signaling to there? Is he signaling to Mueller? Is he signaling to Trump? Is he signaling to just the population
in
general? Okay.
Well, both. I mean, I think he's telling Trump, time's up, and you haven't paid my... You haven't helped me.
You haven't given me my $180,000
back.
Well,
you know, he can pay his legal expenses because he did these things while he was in the employ of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trump organization has refused to do that. And he's given them every chance to step up and help him. And they have not done so. And so now, you know, he's saying, well, Robert Mueller, if you're listening, I have 30,000 emails I'd like to show you. I mean, he's also lost in court his attempt to put a whole bunch of documents under attorney-client privilege. There's 12 documents or something that have been determined to be privileged, and virtually none of the stuff that are between him and Trump have been determined to be privileged. So he's either going to cooperate or he's going to go to jail. He's going to go to prison, and he's going to be there for a long time.
Point number three, and this is one that is definitely a thing, and it's a thing that we all should be focused on, I think, 100% at this point. Mm-hmm. Or that's necessarily 100. Well, yes, 100%, because we should be more than 100% focused at this point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that we need to be focused on, but this right here takes a lot of the attention and deserves to and ought to, which is the still ongoing crisis of families being separated at the border, the immigration crisis in general, the fact that, you know, Flick Abatement on the air this week
it's
saying
distressing.
We're not accepting refugees, we're not receiving refugees
not coming,
here
yeah.
locally, they're not coming. And this all goes back to Trump administration policy. And now the story that is beginning to make the rounds that and this is something that we kind of knew from before, but is getting more public attention now, the fact that the U.S. government is actively pursuing denaturalization proceedings against people who had immigrated and received citizenship and are now citizens are being threatened with denaturalization.
Including people in the military.
Including people in the military. military, and there are people who enlisted in the military, and this is now a separate story. And it's hard to get this. We talk about this in the context of gerrymandering and all of the different court cases.
Right.
There are so many different iterations of the immigration debate. It's not even a debate. There's so many iterations of the immigration debacle that is this administration that we have to keep straight. Separate from the denaturalization is this new story that the AP is reporting, and I think it was yesterday, that the Trump administration or the military under Trump is now very quietly kicking immigrants out of the military who had enlisted with the promise of legal status and citizenship.
Right. And, you know, my father-in-law, for just complete coincidence, but I was looking into some stuff from his background the other day, and the question came up in the family about when did he become a citizen. And I said, well, but he came into the United States when he was 5 years old, and, you know, like in 1921. And so his parents were scrutinized at the border, and they had a bunch of kids, and how did that work at the time and all of this stuff. And I found on Ancestry.com these documents that indicate that he actually was given a citizenship status as part of just prior to him enlisting in the Army in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
And that this happened at in Kentucky, where he was in boot camp, getting ready to go to Europe in the war. And I said, oh, well, I mean, that's amazing. And it talks about his port of entry, and, you know, he drove over the border, you know, with his parents and his family and all that stuff. And after all those years, because he's about to go into the Army and go to Europe and, you know, chase Hitler around. So we'll let you be a citizen because you're about to go offer your life for us.
Yeah.
That's when he became a citizen. And I was thinking about that when I was looking at this story, and I thought, that's exactly the person that Trump is going to go now pluck him off the battlefield and say, sorry, you're not good enough, and you have to go. And by the way, he would have to go back to Canada. That would have been his punishment. In this scenario, he might be happy
might
to
be,
go.
Yeah, right.
The thing with the kids on the border, I'll just tell you to put it on the record right now that we're going to find out that not only does the government not know where many of these children are, they're just not accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
They're refusing to allow outsiders, third parties, agencies, relief agencies to come and visit with them. We're going to find that many of these children have been kept under bad conditions, have been abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there's going to be an Abu Ghraib situation with some of these children.
This is already starting to come out. There's the one lawsuit with the, what was it, less than 2 years old child who was kept for 85 days, not bathed, had lice when he came out.
Yeah. I mean, there's
by our government.
Right. By our government, and for no legitimate and legal reason. So I think that in the next year, you know, the very first thing that we have to keep our eye on, as you described, to keep your eye on the ball, is that this is not about gaining a political advantage from how horrifying this issue is. It's to get these kids back with their parents immediately. Then we can litigate, you know, what happened here and do the legwork to try to find the parents that have already been deported while their children, some of them, are in the foster care system and are being offered up for adoption and may be young enough not to be able to argue about it one way or the other. I mean, it's terrible.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
You are on the water cooler this weekend.
Okay.
You and Victor are on the water cooler this weekend.
That was a good conversation.
Because you're just so cool.
That's true.
You're just so cool that you inspire water, which is why it's raining. See what I did there?
It actually has stopped raining. So you just turned around and pointed outside at all of the non-existent rain.
This is my grandson does this gesture now, this like Vanna White ta-da thing. And I said, that's his sign for behold.
There you go.
There it is.
That's a good sign for behold,
it is.
Right? Yeah,
behold.
It's the universal behold.
Behold, it has stopped raining.
And that is on
Saturday morning at 4 a.m.
Saturday
so
morning at 4 a.m.
Get up early,
yes.
And then Sunday
at
1 and 8 p.m.
Yep. So tune in for that and check out the archive on chapelburra.com. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Thank you.